You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
It's time for something else, so let's pray over the Word. Father, we thank you that your Word is true, your Word is powerful, your Word is alive. And Lord God, this morning we endeavor to have ears to hear what you want to say to us. Yes, it may be for our neighbor, but talk to us. We need a word from you. We need an encouragement from you. We need direction from you. These are difficult times, but we need a word from you. We know that one word from you changes everything. So we receive it in Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement said, amen, amen. You know, these are difficult times, and I'm not just talking about, you know, that whole election process, you know, which seems to captivate our attention. It's like, you know, you can't talk to anybody for more than 2 minutes and that's going to come up. I mean, it's on everybody's mind. It's on in the newspapers and all that. But you know what? After Tuesday, the world will go on. And God will still be on the throne, whoever comes out.
Yes.
Amen? So let's not be only focused. I believe we need to pay attention to what's going on, but let's not be hypnotized and rendered ineffective because what we expected or hoped to happen didn't happen. Now, I'm not predicting anything right now. This is not thus saith the Lord. I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't have that inside information. But whatever happens, God is still on the throne. We still win.
Yes, we do.
We still win. Amen. You know, these times are called by Paul to Timothy. He calls it perilous times. Then it lists all kinds of things. And if you read them, you see that, yeah, that pretty much fits the time. You know, people be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, disrespectful, all these things. We know that these are the times we live in. But I want us to look at Luke 21:28, and it talks about, this is Jesus talking about end times. And here's what he says. When we are in these perilous times, he says, when these things begin to happen, and I believe that this is just the beginning. He says, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. Well, in other words, we're given instructions here by Jesus not to look around like, oh my God, Mildred, what are we going to do now? No, no, no. This is not the time to look to the left. I'm not being political.
Yeah.
Or to the right. And when Jesus says to look up, he's not saying look up to the White House.
Right.
Hello. You know, ain't no help there. That's the way you would say it in Texas, right? Ain't no help there. But we know where our help cometh from.
Yes.
Amen. So it's time to look up. It's time to look up. I heard something on Christian radio not too long ago. And it just kind of, wow, this, you know, sometimes people, this is what I love about you, Pastor, is that I make it a point to miss Sunday school in every church that I visit. I go out of my way not to be there. I will never miss. You can check my record. I have never missed the teaching of Pastor Mike Williams ever since I've been coming here. You know why? Because he doesn't just talk. He actually has something to say. Amen. All right. But here's what this, you know, sometimes, you know, people can say some things that just hit you. And this hit me. Maybe you want to write it down. When things seem to fall apart, like, you know, right now, when things seem to fall apart, it might be time for things to fall into place. Looks like everything, oh my God, what is happening? But that, see, everything is an opportunity for God. I heard that this morning during the teaching. Is that, you know, God doesn't create this turmoil. He's not creating this mess. He has nothing to do with that. But you know what? He will use that as an opportunity to get glory out of it. Amen? So when things seem to fall apart, or even if they are, it's a good time for things to fall into place. Yeah. Say to your neighbor, I believe things are falling into place for me. Amen. You know, I mean, we look at a lot of things right now. We say, man, I wish this would happen and this would happen. Maybe this is a time for there's one thing that comes to mind. The wealth of the wicked has been stored up for the righteous. You know, as far as I know, that has not happened in the history of humanity yet. So if it is going to happen, this would be a pretty good time. Yeah. I'm just saying. Amen? Amen? See, and I believe there's certain things that will fall into place right in the middle of this kind of time. Amen? You know, if it hadn't been for the judgment on Egypt with the plagues, remember? There would have not been any distinction between Goshen and the Egyptian environment. Right? See, God used that as an opportunity to make a distinction. I believe this is a time that we're in right now. This is not the time to join the other crowd. This is a time to be real Christians. If my people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. See, I'm looking for that day. Sometimes, I got to tell you, I'm wondering, some people, when I hear what comes out of their mouth, when I hear of the decisions that they made, and based on what they're making, their choices and decisions, I say, I want to ask them. I don't, because I don't want to offend them. But I want to ask him, are you sure you're really a Christian? Yeah. I know you go to church and all that, but are you sure? Yeah. Huh? See, I believe there comes a time when we're going to know who we're dealing with. Really Christians or not, okay? So it's not time to look down or look around. It's time to lift up our eyes. Come with me to John chapter 4 and verse 35. John 4. I'll put my marker in 1 Peter. I don't know what I was thinking. I was, you know, that time change, it just does things to me. What did I say? John 4? 4:35. Now this morning I'm not teaching, you understand? I would not consider attempting to teach you anything when I know who is teaching you here. That would be like, give me a break. You know, I mean, you are well taught. There's nothing that I could teach you that you don't already know. All I can do is exhort you and encourage you. Amen. That's all I'm doing here this morning. Verse 35. Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, now here we go, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Again, I believe that these are the times when there is the greatest, seems like almost contradictory, like this is not an opportune time for the world, certainly, but we're not of the world. Remember that. We're not of this world. We're just kind of traveling through. Amen. But here's the exhortation of Jesus. He says, lift up your eyes. Don't get caught up in what's going on around you with the economy or the stock market or the price of oil. I'm amazed. that when we were in our lowest income period of the ministry in almost 30 years, it was the lowest, you know, if you had a graph, you could see, oh my God, you know, it was not that much before, but boy, it got really low. That's when gasoline was at the highest price. But you know what? I don't ever remember going without putting gas in my car.
Yeah.
Somehow God provided.
Praise God.
Amen?
Absolutely.
So he says, look up. Lift up your eyes. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest.
Yeah.
They're already white for harvest. I was talking about France in the video. You know, this is not a new discovery. We've been working in that nation. We were born and raised there. We know how the French people are. You cannot tell us anything about the French that we don't already know. All right? That's one of the reasons we left there, too. We weren't French enough, so they kicked us out. No. But, you know, I noticed something. For all these years where we sacrificed, where we... You talk about sowing in tears, but we harvesting with celebration now. And you know what changed? French people are French people. You know, they're obnoxious. Ask Pastor Wayne, you know, he has to put up with me. But you know, because the environment has changed so much, it's become so contrary that the people are saying, well, you know, there's no help there.
Right.
And they're in so much trouble that they're beginning to look for the Lord. We've never had meetings as powerful as we've had like this last time.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, man, this is easy. This is cool. I can do this.
Yeah.
It was hard before. I remember the first time when we started our school in Normandy, there was maybe 12 students, and the first class, it was a pretty basic class. It was on the miracle of the new birth. You can't get any more basic than that. They looked at me like, oh my God, we did not notice that you parked a UFO in the church parking lot. You must be from another planet. It was like all foreign to them. Now I can preach at any level.
Wow.
I mean, you could preach there. They would actually get it.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I need to go.
Minus the accent. We'd have to work on that, you know. Well, I would translate for you. So, well, anything, I could correct it, you know. Lift up your eyes and look at the field. What am I talking about? Now is the time. Let's look at Luke 10:28. We were in Luke before. Let's go back to Luke in 10:28. Now's the time. Now's the time. Tell your neighbor, now's the time.
Now's the time.
Time for what? Well, we're going to find out. Now this is obviously when Jesus talks about gives a parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's a parable. So that means that the characters, the setting, the circumstances, Jesus could say anything he wanted. He did not have to say Samaritan. He did not have to use the title of the priest or the Levite. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
He didn't even have to give the location. But apparently that had some importance, right? I don't think Jesus ever said anything just, you know, to fill in the blanks, right? So here's what he says. Where am I at? Okay, let's read verse 28. You have answered rightly. Do this, and this lawyer that asked him What shall I do to inherit eternal life? So, you know, Jesus, you know, he gives some good answers. And then in verse 27, at the end of verse 27, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and, see, it didn't finish there. It says, and your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus can only agree with that. He said, well, you got it right. You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. And this guy probably wished he had just left it alone and quit at that point. But his motives were not right. He had the right answer. See, we can speak Christianese like it's nobody's business. Man, I mean, if we've had, you know, 20, 30 years of Christian living, we got the vocabulary down. You know, no brainer. We got that down. But, see, Jesus knows the intent of the heart. So, this young man, he already knew something wasn't right with him. Otherwise, he would not have answered that question. See, it says here that he wanted to justify himself. Yep. Wait a minute. Jesus just said, you have answered rightly. The problem was, when Jesus said, do this and you will live, somehow this young man, this lawyer knew, I'm not doing this. Then Jesus answered and said, first of all, this lawyer asked, now who is my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Well, let's see. The neighbor to my left at 1222 Elm Street, his name is, I don't know, I think it's Oscar or something. He's not talking about that kind of neighbor. When we read the parable, we find out that that has nothing to do with a person that has an address next to your home. Hello? I'm doing good. I spoke to all my neighbors about Jesus. Well, whoop-de-doo. This is not even what Jesus is talking about. Now, you should talk to your neighbors. Amen? Pastor William and Brenda, they would have a hard time. I mean, their neighbors, their closest neighbors, apart from the family, oh my God, they're on the other end of Texas or something. There's people that live in areas, they ain't no neighbors. Right? But what it's talking about is anybody that does not, that needs help. When you think about the people that you can help, the candidates are the people that need your help. Hello? So Jesus goes on with this parable. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem, and this is significant, to Jericho, and fell. This tells me that in all likelihood, this man was a Jew. He was traveling out of Jerusalem. More than likely, he was a Jew. And he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31. Again, there's nothing said here by accident. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The first and best opportunity to help this man was given to a priest, to someone in the ministry. Hello? You know, of all, you know, we have different ministries, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. But, If we become too big to stop whatever that we're doing to help somebody in need, we've just grown too big.
Yeah, too big.
We're just too busy, I guess. So this man, obviously this priest, he missed his opportunity. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and he looked. He actually considered it, maybe. And then he passed by on the other side. See, he had better things to do. He considered this opportunity, and then he said, well, I wish I could help. Oh boy, I don't know if I can do this to you, but I will. You would not believe. Now this gets me. This little basket over there, it changes every place we go. You know, we have different containers. It doesn't matter what the basket is. But it represents somebody in a ditch. It represents kids that have no future, no hope for any kind of life. They didn't know before where their next meal was coming from. They were sleeping on the beach. 7-8-year-old girls sleeping out in the open on the beach in Madagascar. I mean, that if it was in Will's Point, it'd be one thing. Madagascar, oh my God. I mean, with the predators they have there, it was impossible. But, you know, you cannot walk by and say, well, I wish I could do something. Everybody can do something. I've been to churches where they had 2,000 people and $10 comes into the basket. And I said, hey, there is something wrong with that picture. That to me speaks volumes as to their Christianity or their level of love and compassion for the poor and for the hurting. So finally, here's this man, a certain Samaritan. Now, Samaritans would have nothing to do with Jews. Again, if we suppose that this man was a Jew in the ditch, here's a Samaritan that shouldn't have any kind of relationship with this man in the ditch. It says that when he saw him, see, the Levite just looked. He glanced at it, saying, okay, well, here's something else I want to say. This Levite probably thought, well, because of my gender, because of what I have on my plate, I can't do this right now. I wish it was listen, this man in the ditch did not make an appointment. He did not choose to be in a ditch. But this Levite probably thought, well, if I don't do anything, somebody else will. Let me give you a little testimony. One of my first times when I went to Madagascar, I met another group of kids. They were in a village where all they do in that village is they bring trailers in with loaded up with big rocks, and they dump them in front of each hut, and then all day long, old ladies, 80 years old, whatever, with hammers, they're breaking those rocks and make gravel out of it. And then they had kids, 5-6 years old, with a hammer that they could hardly lift, and they were breaking rocks too. And I said, this is not right. This is not right. I remember making an appeal for those kids, because I really felt that we needed to take care of them. Yeah. Well, nobody responded. You know, those kids today, the Muslims built a beautiful mosque right in the middle of that village, and they are feeding the kids. And little by little, they're taking them off of that God-forsaken job of breaking rocks and doing exactly what we're doing, what we're trying to do with our kids. Missed opportunity. Well, okay. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't it? You know, there's nothing cute about this. This is a life and death situation. This man in the ditch, he never even talked to the Samaritan. Look at it. Never talked to him. Never said, please help me. See, some people, they're not going to come in and say, please help me. They're either ashamed or maybe they think, well, they're not going to help me anyway. Listen to your heart. This man had compassion. He had compassion. He said, and apparently he was on a business trip. He had things to do, places to go. But he said, the heck with that. I'm going to take care of this. It's called applying, now we quoted Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God. Every time the kingdom of God gives us an opportunity, we have to jump on it and forget about our agenda.
Amen.
Amen? We all have things to do. But, you know, don't count on somebody else. Like, you know, I figured, well, we can't do anything. So somebody did. The Muslims came in and they saw the opportunity. I don't know if they had compassion on him. The bottom line is there's no way to get those kids back now. You know what they're being taught now? The Quran. They would have been taught the Bible. So obviously this man recognized who his neighbor was. It was a stranger. Somebody that normally he wouldn't have had anything to do with in normal circumstances. Amen? You know, there's some people that you're not attracted to. Hello. I look at my friend over here. You know, she's so lovely. You know, I'm sure people are drawn to you because, you know, you're like a magnet. But, you know, then there's other people. I'm not going to look at anybody, okay? There's other people who say, oh, my God. But then I remember that God loves me.
Yes.
That God came to rescue me. And, boy, I was in one big, it was a ditch as deep as a Grand Canyon. But he came to rescue me. He did not look at where I came from. Thank God. He threw away my record and said, I'm gonna save you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to buy you back. Amen. See, we shouldn't make those judgment calls based on our feelings. Well, oh, this person is so lovely. I think, oh, I'm attracted. I feel the Holy Spirit leading me. Well, yeah, maybe it has nothing to do. This is another big thing about missions. A lot of people are influenced by emotions.
Sure.
They look at pictures and, you know, some people work the system. They're just plain, they're good marketers, so they only choose pictures that show the people in their worst possible state. And then they draw on the emotion. Listen, don't be drawn by emotion because that can be manipulated. Be drawn by the Spirit of God, by the compassion, the love that God has put in your heart, and then he'll show you what is legitimate and what is not.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 You know, we've been doing this for 9 years with those kids. Not one penny that came in went contrary to some people that have foundations and then they profit from it. You know, they fly jet planes and this and that. If I go to Madagascar, guess what? Unless people help us with a trip, the money comes from our, our account or comes from our bank account. It's not. It doesn't come from what we say goes to the kids. If it goes to the kids, it goes to the kids.
Right, right.
Amen. Whew. Let's go to Jude chapter 20 and verse 22. Are you getting anything out of this? Oh, we have to be quick, real quick. So listen quick. Jude. I just need to mention something about that scripture. So Jude 20:22. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22. And on some. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to go to everybody?
No.
According to this verse, no. Have compassion, making a distinction. You know what that means? You correct me, Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
But isn't that where we get the word discernment from? Isn't that the same root?
Yeah.
See, you cannot be blind in going towards people.
Yeah,
it's not a one-size-fits-all. I have this mode of operation. I give my testimony. I give them this verse out of Romans. And bada bing. And then when I'm done, I hand them a tract. Well, that may be your mode of operation, but you got to be a little bit more creative than that. See, Jesus, he knew he was dealing with a Samaritan woman. He was not dealing with a child. If it had been a child, he would have dealt with it. He would not have offered water. He would have offered maybe Dr. Pepper or something to a child.
Yeah.
See, you have to adapt and know who you're dealing with. Care enough to find out what the people's needs really are before you can fulfill that need. It's not, people drove me crazy at some point. They would want to come to France and evangelize like they do in South America. Well, it didn't work.
Right. Right.
The French are different. We know that. Well, you can't, whatever worked in one place doesn't work. In South America, they would take a guitar and some drums and hand out tracts and bada bing, they had hundreds of people come to the Lord. You do that in France, number one, you'll get arrested. But before you get arrested, you're not going to get a single person to respond. That's not the way you do it. In Pakistan, you can actually, if you're creative, we just had a crusade there. Over 3,000 people came to the crusade. In Pakistan, an Islamic republic where it's forbidden to preach the gospel. But this Pastor Talib that you saw in the pictures, he's creative and he worked at having so much favor with the government that because it's him, they say,
sure,
you do whatever you want. So he has an open-air crusade, advertises, has big banners, but you can't treat everybody the same way and do things, the same way everywhere.
Sure.
Amen? Let's go real quick to Esther. Esther chapter 4 and verse 11. Now, I want to say a couple of things about that. Esther, I am sure, when she became queen in a foreign land, now she wasn't a Jew, and here she gets promoted to being a queen in a foreign country. She was an immigrant. It's pretty cool, huh? But she thought that the reason why she became queen is, number one, because she was beautiful, and number two, it was really all about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on her response, it's like, man, I got this position that I better protect now. I made it. But, you know, I cannot be bothered with anything else. Well, so she's told by Mordecai, she's told that she better reconsider, that maybe the reason she was brought into the kingdom for such a time as this was not to become just a queen. That was only just a pretext so that she could rescue men and women that were in danger of dying. Now think about this. Could it be that you and I have been called? I'm just saying. But why? I thought God loved me. How come He made me be born in such a time as this? What do you think that? Listen, God is not a masochist. He's not trying to. He puts you in an environment that you've been prepared to be victorious in. Let me say that again. Whatever environment God puts us in, whatever situation God puts us in, He's made provision so that when it's all said and done, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when it's all said and done, we come out better and victorious on the other side. So don't you, poor old me, why was I born at such a time as this? Well, this is our greatest opportunity. Hello? And remember what Mordecai said? Now you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. Somebody, God will find somebody else.
That's it.
Yeah, this wasn't God, but somebody else took care of those kids in Madagascar. I'm not going to let somebody else do what I was called to do.
Oh, that's right.
Amen. And no, I tell it to your neighbor, I will not let somebody else do what God called me to do. I'm called by God. I'm called by God. Praise God. So she was called into the kingdom to save men and women, just like you and I. That's what this is all about. It's not about church. You know, this church, like you said, the sign is the first thing to go. But then the building, I'm sorry, it's paid for, but you ain't taking it with you. You know what we get to take with us?
Nothing.
Is the men and, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I thought you had all the answers. Now, I'm so disappointed right now. Just kidding. But we get to take the men and women that we brought to the Lord, we bring them along with us.
Amen.
Amen. So we don't go empty-handed. But all the stuff that we work so hard to get, and then Jesus says, no, you got the priorities all wrong. Seek first the kingdom, and then all these things that you use as a pretext or an excuse not to serve my kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. I'm a living testimony to that. I gave up, I thought I was giving up a lot. I found out I gave up nothing. In comparison to what God gave me, the opportunity that He's given me to preach this gospel. And He's given us all this opportunity. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Won't we all stand up? Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank You. Thank You for calling us into Your kingdom for such a time as this. We will not be worried. We will not be anxious, for we know that Your promises are yea and amen.
Yes.
When it's all said and done, we win.
Yes.
Because You have given us the victory. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving us opportunity. Open our eyes so that when we go out of this place, tomorrow, when we when we go shopping or do whatever our business takes us, we see the men and women that are so desperately in need of our help. We are the light, like it was said earlier. Lord God, may they see your light in us. And Lord God, maybe Tuesday at the polls, yeah, we may go and vote, but Lord God, may we have our eyes open to see the people, the men and women that are in such a desperate need, and realize that we have been invested with so much that we can give them hope and give them a future and allow them to have eternal life through you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Amen.